marimba rhythm start to play. Dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore. Hold me close.
More B-Show with Bob Valvano is now, right here on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
B-Show rolling along here on ESPN 680, 105.7. Reminder, if you want to play in our bocce event this Sunday at Lynn Family Stadium, shoot me a message, nickv@espnlouisville.com. We'd love to have you. It'd be a lot of fun. Hopefully going to be some familiar faces out there. I know it'll be a lot of fun. We've done this before. We've done it at the Kentucky Castle. We've done it at Jim Patterson Stadium. We've done it on the waterfront. We've done it at the Belvedere. A lot of different locations for the bocce event over the years, but the first ever time we're doing it in Lynn Family Stadium. So it should be a lot of fun. If you are available to play, we will teach you how to play bocce. It's very easy to learn. nickv@espnlouisville.com. Just give me a message. Get a team of, if you can, four, great. If you only have a team of two, that's fine. We can find some people to play on your team. But it'll be a lot of fun. So nickv@espnlouisville.com. I want to give a shout out to Raising Cane's. Game plan ahead with the Raising Cane's mobile app or by ordering at raisingcane's.com. They were our lunch sponsor today. Good stuff there. Pops is going to reconnect. Basically, a battery died and we just got to charge it. So we need a little bit of time. We're going to do a Big League Haircuts V-Stakes later this hour. Big League Haircuts, 5-0 Tuesdays, $5 off a haircut ticket of two or more, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Two area locations, Bardstown Road, Taylorsville Road. Play hard, look good at Big League Haircuts. You're playing for an opportunity to win a free haircut courtesy of Big League Haircuts. Last week, we were able to give away some pretty cool Derby 150 books courtesy of our friends. And if you are interested in purchasing one of those books, www.kyd150.com. That's www.kyd150.com. Enter promo code DERBY to receive 15% off. It's the one and only official history of the Kentucky Derby. Very, very cool tabletop book there. And congrats to our winners. Kelly won with Mystic Dan with our Derby Pick'em contest. We also had a couple V-Stakes winners last week win a free copy of that book. But if you would like to get a copy of your own, again, that's KYD150.com, promo code DERBY, 15% off for a very, very nice coffee table book that depicts the entire history of the Kentucky Derby, all 150 years. So very cool stuff there. So while this unit is charging, we decided to replay yesterday's interview with Oaks and Derby winning jockey Brian Hernandez Jr. He joined the V-Show courtesy of our friend Jenny Reese. Shout out to her for helping set that up. So we're going to replay that interview. You'll hear from Brian Hernandez, and we will get our equipment recharged, and then we will end the show with a little V-Stakes and some techs as well. So without further ado, Brian Hernandez Jr. from yesterday on the V-Show.
There was an old baseball manager a long, long time ago, baseball fans might remember, named Leo Durocher, who was famous for saying, "Nice guys finish last." Well, sometimes that's not always true, and it's always fun when you get to know one of the nice guys, and they not only don't finish last, they finish first, and that's our next guest, the winner of the 150th Kentucky Derby, Brian Hernandez, who I can vouch for. Brian, I think the last time we visited was at Kentucky Downs, and I enjoyed that very much, but I'm going to guess you're going to enjoy this visit a little bit more, huh?
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It's always great talking to you.
You know, you said yesterday it hasn't sunk in yet. Has it sunk in today or not quite?
It's getting there a little bit, I think, just getting a lot of phone calls and a lot of congratulations in Texas and everything else. So it's starting to sink in, but at the same time, it's been a lot of fun.
Well, it was certainly a lot of fun watching you. You know, I know they have that website that shows how the distance, actually, that each horse traveled. I haven't seen it, but you must have gone about a 16th of a mile less than most of the other horses because you were hugging that rail, partner.
That was the game plan, was try to give him the best trip up the inside that we could, and we were fortunate enough that it worked out.
I was going to ask you that. You know, I'm quoting all sorts of other sports here. The boxer Mike Tyson used to say, everybody's got a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. Well, same thing with horse racing to a degree. I mean, you can have a plan, but when you start and it's an unusual race, it's longer than most, there's 20 horses. How much of it are you making up on the fly? Or was it just a matter of, you know, let's try and get to the rail and see how it breaks and read it from there?
You know, on Saturday, it was just kind of one of those magical trips because I kind of had that trip planned out in my head the entire way. But like you said, in racing with 20 horse fields, you never know exactly what's going to happen. I just kind of went into the race thinking that, hey, if I can, from the three posts, if I can get to the rail, and then from there, just let things develop. And at the same time, I was just looking for a horse to follow around there that I thought would get me to certain points in the race, that we'd be able to pull off that kind of trip. And it just so happened that we never did get punched in the mouth. So we were able to work out the exact game plan we thought we envisioned going into it. And it was just, it was one of those storybook endings where everything worked out perfectly. And we were rewarded greatly.
What is it about you Louisiana boys, Calvin Borrell and you guys like to, although I did hear you say that you kind of were using him as a, I don't want to say a model, but a motivation, inspiration, but how significant, I read you went back and watched the tapes of his long shot wins when he did just that, when rode the rail here in the Derby. How much of that was an inspiration for you?
Yeah, it was a great inspiration. You know, when I first came here to Kentucky and Calvin was still riding here in Kentucky, I was in the same corner as him as an 18-year-old kid, so I always got to watch Calvin and just study what he did his whole career very closely. So when we drew the inside post like we did, I went back and I do like to watch the replays of all the horses just to see what kind of trips we think we can work out. And then on top of that, I went back and I watched the first Derby I watched of Calvin's was Mind That Bird in the replays. And when I watched that trip, I was like, well, that was a beautiful trip. But I couldn't use that one to model after just because he was so far back early on in the race. Mm-hmm. And then when I went back, the next one I watched was his ride on Super Saver. And coming out of the four post that day, he got down to the inside and he was kind of same spot as Mystical Dan was on Saturday, just like five or six lengths off of the leaders. And then when I watched that replay, I was like, you know what? That's the trip I need. I need to give Mystic Dan this Super Saver ride, and that was just our kind of go-to move.
You know, most of us, obviously, listening, have never ridden a racehorse, won't know what goes through your mind. I watched the race a couple of times just to focus on your horse. You never know how they're going to come out of the gate, right? But he came out beautifully. He came out the way you wanted him to. You seemingly got him to the inside pretty easily, but then there were some of the horses that you expected to go to the front did go to the front, and then they got a little separation from you. Did you ever feel a little nervous they might run away from you?
No, that was kind of my thing. That was another thing going into a race like the Derby. You can't go in there worried about what the other guys are doing out there, the other horses, and that. You have to go out there and you got to trust your horse and ride him to his ability. So once we got down the backside in that, and my horse was traveling so good, and I was able to find a nice little pocket down on the inside all by himself, and there was really no other horses around him. I was just focusing on him and focusing on just letting him get the trip. And the beautiful thing about the Derby, too, is that when you have when we were inside like that, those horses started making their moves around the second turn. And as they started getting tired, they started kind of stacking up. But at the same time as they're stacking up, going wider and wider, we were down on the inside with a horse that was just cruising nicely in his own little world. And the biggest thing is from the 3/8 pole to the 5/16 pole, I was just hoping that somebody would move off the rail just a little bit. And when Joel did just take like a half a step off the inside rail, we were able to shoot through.
Yeah, you did. You passed Joel. You know what it looked like? It looked like on Black Friday when they opened the stores. That's what you looked like.
That's a good analogy.
Did you, I mean, that looked really tight. That's got to take some degree of courage and boldness and all those things that a jockey has to do. But, I mean, that's really, when you first start that move, how confident are you can get through? Are you afraid you're going to have to check up?
No, I wasn't really afraid of it because the Mystic Dan, he's made that move before in the past. So I knew he'd be there for me. All I needed to do was trust him, and once I pointed him to the little hole that we found, I knew he was going to shoot through there.
He did beautifully. I mean, the two of you made it. That was a dramatic move, and it was thrilling to watch. You know, in Travis Stone's call of the race, you know, you had opened up a little bit of a lead, and then the two horses were coming at you, and he said, and here's Mystic Dan begging for the wire. Was the horse begging for the wire at that point?
Yeah, because we knew. The thing about Mr. Dan, too, is he's a rare type of horse where you can make two or three different moves. And I had already used three of my moves up just trying to get in my position like I did. So when he shot through there like that, like he did inside the 16th hole going a mile and a quarter like we were, he was looking for the wire, but so was everyone else.
Yeah, that's true. But a beautiful race to watch. And, you know, I'm, that's not your concern in the sense that you're just trying to go out and win the race. But, boy, did horse racing really needed that, Brian. What a beautiful day.
Yeah, it's a great day for the sport. And, you know, it was a great weekend for horse racing because we had such great races at Churchill. And just for it to be the 150th Kentucky Oaks and Kentucky Derby to be able to showcase what a great sport we have, it means a lot. You know, it's gonna mean a lot for a long, long time.
Now, you must have had some celebration here, because my understanding is you canceled your trip back to New Orleans for the Jazz Festival. So if you had more fun here than you're going to have there, you must have had a good time last night.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun Saturday night, but we had a trip down. We had a trip planned to go to Jazz Fest because we have a home right there. Right outside the back gate of the racetrack there at the fairgrounds, and we were planning on just going back there and catching the last day of the Jazz Fest for the first time ever. And fortunately, we had to scrap those plans, but it was for good reason.
You know, it's unbelievable. I mean, I've gotten to know you a little bit, and I'm delighted every time we get a chance to visit. But I mean, your first. You know, I don't say first significant win. That's not fair. But you won your you've gone back. Now it's 20 years, and your Breeders' Cup Classic win was 12 years ago. I mean, you're not a kid anymore, but you're still at I was going to ask you. It seems to me, you know, that's the fine line where you still have your physical skills, but the experience kicks in. Would you say you're riding better than you ever have right now?
Oh, definitely. We're riding well, but we're also getting better horses, too, you know, and that's a testament to the guys we ride for, especially like Kenny. You know, we're just the guys we ride for. They're finding better horses for us to ride, and we just need to capitalize on those moves and give them the best chance we can. And that's always kind of, you know, that's what it's horse racing. It's not jockey racing. For the most part, just about any jockey can give a really good horse the right trip. But we're just fortunate enough to where, like you said, with a little more experience now, getting a little older, we're able to. I think the bigger stage doesn't bug us as much anymore.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. Speaking of the big stage, the guy for whom you were riding, Kenny McPeak's, very popular guy around these parts. The fans really like him. He's very popular. He'd won the Belmont Stakes. He'd won the Preakness. He's tried and tried for the Derby. He's tried and tried for the Oaks. He gets them both on the same weekend. What did it mean to him, and what did it mean to you to give that to him?
You know, it meant the world to him, especially as you try, like you said, you try and try and think. You always tell yourself, you always got to believe in yourself that one day it's going to be your turn. So to be able to do it on the same weekend, it's magical. You know, we won the Oaks on Friday, and we did all the we've won big races in the past, but the Oaks and the Derby, it's a different level. You know, with the media and doing all the press conferences after it was amazing. So when we won the Oaks, after we walked out of the press conference, I was like, wow, this must be what it's like to win the Derby. But then to follow it up Saturday and win the Derby, I was like, whoa, wait, we weren't ready for all this. But this is great. I mean, it's, you know, to be able to stand after the Derby Saturday night and be able to stand up in the Kentucky Derby Museum in front of a crowd of probably 300 people with the governor of Kentucky, Andy Beshear, standing next to you congratulating you. It was definitely life-changing.
Well, you're a gracious winner, my friend, and it's a very popular win in a lot of circles, certainly in mine. I was so happy for you. But now the question is, I heard Kenny say that you're not sure you're going to go to the Preakness, and is that true? What do you know about that?
Yeah, you know, I was back at the barn this morning, and he's just looking out for the best interest in the horse. And, you know, like he said, Saturday night after the race, the horse got back to his stall really late, and he was tired. And the Sunday morning when they checked his feed tub, he didn't eat up like he normally does. But in the same aspect, everything was a little later on him. But then we were out of the barn this morning, and Kenny said he ate up great last night, and he looked fabulous. So he'll let us know within the next few days or so of if we're heading up Preakness or not.
One of us, we're talking so much about the Derby win. What about the Oaks win? What are your plans there? What do you, you know, because there's obviously a race for the fillies at Pimlico and at Belmont, and any plans to go there, or definitely, or what are you thinking about there?
Yeah, Kenny's kind of evaluating everything. I don't think, from talking to him, I don't believe that the Black Eyed Susan is an option. I think we're going to just wait for the race up at the Belmont races this year. They're going to be up at Saratoga. So we're going to just kind of, looks like we're going to wait on the races up in Saratoga with her in 5 weeks.
I should know this, but I don't, so I'll just ask you. What kind of success have you had at Saratoga?
We've had pretty good success. You know, we've ridden up there quite a bit, and I've been fortunate enough. I've won their biggest race, the Whitney, one of their biggest races. And now we're excited about, hopefully we get a chance to go up there and win the first ever Belmont run at Saratoga.
Is so again, just to circle back before I let it go, so if Torpedo Anna is not going to go to the Black Eyed Season, which sounds like she's not, where do you think she'll show up next?
There's a race, I think it's the Acorn up in New York over.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, with it being at Saratoga instead of Belmont this year, it'll be around two turns at a mile and an eighth, whereas opposed to when it's at Belmont, it's normally a one-turn mile and an eighth. So we're looking forward. Kind of talking with Kenny, that kind of seems like the game plan with her.
Have you heard from Calvin Burrell, by the way, since you won?
Yeah. He called me yesterday, and that was one of the best phone calls I got all afternoon. It was from Uncle Boo. We got to sit and talk a little while, and it was great to hear from him again because I hadn't gotten to talk to him. I seen him a couple times when we were down in New Orleans this winter. He came over to the fairgrounds and rode a few horses. So to be able to sit and talk with him again for a while, it was great.
Did you just call him Uncle Boo?
Yeah, we've always called him Uncle Calvin, Uncle Boo, ever since I came here to Kentucky.
I like that. I wish I'd known that. When I interviewed him, I would have called him that. He would have looked at me like I was an idiot. Brian, nobody deserves it more than you. You're a class act, a great rider. I'm very happy for you. Thank you for taking some minutes out to come join us. Enjoy the journey and enjoy the victory, and maybe we'll do it again soon. I hope so.
Let's hope so. Thanks again, Bob. Always great talking to you guys.
Right back at you. Brian Hernandez Jr., the winning jock, and what a nice guy he is. I told you that. Comes across in the interview. And good answers to the questions, too.
There you have it. That was Oaks and Derby winning jockey Brian Hernandez yesterday on The V Show. Good stuff there. We'll take a short break. We'll get Bobby V reconnected on the other side. It's The V Show. It's a Tuesday, ESPN 680, 105.7.
Taking care of your family isn't always easy, so we make sure getting care when you need it is. With Baptist Health Urgent and Virtual Care, we bring you more options and greater convenience, too. With video visits available 24/7 and online check-in through MyChart for in-person visits. To check in online or to set up a video visit, go to baptisthealth.com/careanywhere.
When it's time to replace your heating and air system, we know people want options. That's why you'll always get a free second opinion with BJ Heating and Cooling. Plus, for a limited time, get 0% financing for 60 months on a new Bryant system.
Call the experts you can trust at BJ Heating and Cooling.
Tired of jumping from job to job? How about a career in a recession-proof industry where you can make a difference and help create a healthier living and working environment? The pest management industry gives you the opportunity to work with more independence. OPC Pest Services will give you a chance to grow with advancement. Come be a part of our team at OPC Pest Services. Apply online at opcpest.com/careers. That's opcpest.com/careers.
Where do you go to find all your favorite wine, beer, and spirits with selections customized to local tastes? For over 25 years, that go-to place has been Cox's Spirit Shop. Cox's, Louisville's go-to liquor store.
be a part of the show, text Bobby V on the UPS Jobs text line at 437-9680.
All right, kids, let's have a V Steaks and give away some free haircuts at Big League Haircuts. Don't forget, today is your chance to get in there, right? It's 502 Tuesdays.
Yeah, 502 Tuesdays. Tuesday, Wednesday, haircut ticket, two or more, $5 off. Two area locations, Taylorsville Road, Bardstown Road. Play hard, look good, Big League Haircuts.
Tasty. All right, let's see where we want to go, shall we? Let's see. I'm trying to find one. We can't find one right in the sweet spot. The ones on here are all too soon or too late. We could do a harness racing from France.
Oh, there we go. Yeah, why not?
You want to do that? But I suppose, you think he'll announce it in English? I think he will. All right, let's do it.
Could be hilarious if he doesn't.
Well, it's a trot, so horses go off stride a lot in trot, so everybody's going to have a shot here. Remember, if your horse wins at more than 4-1, you get yourself a well, let's make sure it's not in French, though, because that would be so V-show perfect. We set this whole damn thing up, and then we get the game thing in France, and people can't even hear it. All right, let's go see. Here, we got to push this button here, and we hit that button there. And if all goes well, let's see what we get here. Let's see if we have a commentator here. There's the track. Lovely little track in France. Oh, they're not saying anything. It's in Vincennes. That's not Indiana.
No.
It's a harness track. This is the actual sound. That's the driver. They're all talking French to each other, but that's because they're not announcing. I think it's going to be in English. I feel good that it's going to be in English. Although the French are kind of weird like that. No disrespect if you're a listener and you're French, but they really expect the whole world to speak French. They are resentful that most of the world speaks English. That's why they fight like cats and dogs in Quebec. So I don't know. Maybe this thing will come on and they'll announce it in French. All right, well, let's do it anyway. What the hell? That'd be so perfectly on brand for the V-Show if they do it in French.
That could be awesome. Also, I'm mad at Kevin Mullins because evidently he changed his Twin Spires password.
Nah. So, why are you advertising to the world you're fraudulently using his account?
I'm just using it to log in to play the horse race. That's all. I don't make any bets on it.
Is Tulio not here? You're doing double duty today?
Yeah, Tanner's not here.
All right, well, here's the rate. Here are the horses. And keep in mind, I took high school Spanish and only for 2 years. French, my brother warned me, was much harder than Spanish, having taken both of them. So I stayed away from French because the pronunciations are damned impossible. So I shall now butcher the entire field here, figuratively speaking, thank God. We don't really want to harm the horses. This is a trot, harness race. They're going 2,850 meters. How far is that? That's more than a mile, isn't it? What's 2,850 meters? How far is that?
Let's see. How many meters are in a mile? How many meters?
Well, that's a little bit more than 3 feet in a meter. And there's
1,609 meters in a mile.
Wow. So these sons of guns are going almost 2 miles. They're going to be running their little trotting butts off. So wish you luck. Wish you well. Here's your field. Number one is Ideal de Fourcade. I have no idea if that's how it's pronounced. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to say it in my pidgin French and then in how it looks in English. Ideal de Fourcade is Ideal de Fourcade. That's number one, who's 9-2. Number two is Un de Conde, which is Hun de Condi.
Nailing it.
That particular horse is 60-1.
I feel like we are pissing off
every French listener.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know how to speak French. I'm doing the best I can. Number three is Omaya.
Well, they're doing pre-race interviews in French.
That's not going to help anybody. Omaya du Bocage, or Omaya du Bocage is the three. Number four is Isolé du Bouillon, or Isolé du Bouillon. That's the four. And he's 6-5. He's the co-favorite along with the three, Omaya de Bocage. Those two are the co-favorites at 6-5. Number five is Filou de Pam, or Filou de Pam. That's 10-1 for the five horse. Number six is Enrique. I got that one right.
Nailed it.
Enrique is 20-1 at the six hole. Number seven is El Capo. That sounds Spanish more than French. El Capo is 23-1 out of the seven hole. Number 8 is Gallac de la Cave, which is Gallic de la Cave. 6-1. 9 is, there's an English horse in the field. Impact Player.
Yay!
Hooray! Impact Player is 20-1 out of the 9 hole. And rounding out the field out of the 10 hole is Hilda du Trial. Hilda du Trial. Thryl. Thyril. Hilda du Thyril. That's like a bad porno movie. Hilda du Thyril. 7-2 odds there. So send us a 1-10, and you can win yourself some fabulous haircuts, and that race will go to post in about 5 minutes. And they're going, that's a good, going to be a good distance race there. That'll take a few minutes. Usually the harness races in this country are a mile. Yonkers decided to go to a mile and an eighth. I don't really know why. But they did, most of them are a mile. Very few, fewer than that, that I know of, and hardly any longer than that. They used to have a big stakes race in New York that went a mile and a half at Roosevelt Raceway. Roosevelt Raceway was a half-mile track, so they went around 3 times. That was interesting. Which also is interesting, I'll never forget watching, you can go find it somewhere. I'm always finding obscure things on the internet. These harness horses are so set in their ways, God bless them. They're amazingly, we talk about, you know, animals, what do they really know? You know, they're on a routine, man. Most of them run like once a week. It's like every Friday night, every Saturday night. So they know the drill. They know they're coming out. They know when they're getting fed. They go out on the track. They know the drill. They're scoring, as they call it. That's their warm-up. They start the race. And as I said, 99% of the races were a mile, which were 2 laps. So, I mean, I thought maybe it was the driver got confused, but I watched it again. They didn't. They come around. The race is going on. Keep in mind, now this race is a mile and a half, so they're going 3 laps. And I watched the one horse, and they're coming down the stretch, you know, that's for the second time, to finish the second lap. And he just takes off. He's like, I'm winning this one. He starts booking, and he goes by all the other horses. And the driver's like holding onto the reins. He's obviously not encouraging him. He's not confused. But the horse knows. I go around twice, then I hit the feedback. And so he comes around the second time, and he's like, all right, I'm done, right? And the driver's like, no. So he was mad. He didn't win. He kind of fired all the ammunition for his middle lap kick.
But he nailed it. Funny,
though. He did nail it. He was like, I don't know, stinking driver. I know the drill. Second time around, I go past all these poor bastards. But he did, and then the other horses were like, well, that's very nice there, Donde, but you went about a minute too soon there. We got another half mile to go here, so he wound up not winning. But that was funny. I'll never forget seeing that. It's like, where the hell is he going? All right, so that's your field. Number 1 is 6-1, Ideal de Fourcade. 2 is Une de Conde, 65-1. See if they do a post parade and see if the guy does it in English. Omaya du Bocage is 6-5, the 3-1. Number 4 is Isolé du Bouillon, 6-5. So two favorites are 3-4. Number 5 is Filio de Palme, 11-1. 6 is Enrique, 17-1. 7 is El Capo, 23-1. 8 is Gallac de la Cave, 9-2. 9 is Impact Player, 18-1. And 10 is Hilda du Thyral, 4-1. So the favorites are 3-4 at 6-5. And then number 10 is 4-1. So any horse except 3 or 4 win, you'll get 2 haircuts because they're longer than 4-1 odds. What the hell is that?
I don't know. I just have it pulled up.
What is the bird noise?
I guess there's a bird there. This will be even great. Just out of spite. All we're going to get is bird noises. Clopping what and bird noises.
What in the world is the bird? It's like, is he perched on the microphone?
He must be. I haven't heard a word of anything, French or English.
Yeah, I'm watching now, too. I've got it punched up here.
It's pretty relaxing, I got to be honest. The clop and the bird chirping.
Oh, that's one of the reasons I used to love to go, to be honest. I realize now the harness horses have a different sound. You know, and I am a sound-oriented guy. It's probably why I'm in radio. I mean, if you go, I've said this many times, if you go to a hockey game, the sound of the game is fantastic.
Oh, the slicing sound of the skates.
The puck hitting the stick. I mean, baseball's like that too. The first time you go to the ballpark, you hear much crisper the ball hitting the glove and when the ball hits the bat. With 2 minutes from post time, they have a clock. I like that. They have a clock right there on the pole on the track that counts down to post time. That is truly bizarre with that bird.
Yeah, it must be. They must be right next to the microphone.
It's just very strange.
Maybe he's got some action on this. He's yelling at El Capo.
He is. He's telling El Capo, move your, you know, anyway. So, but the clopping of the harness horses is different than the gallop of the... It really, the horses, their thoroughbreds, are they thunder. They really do thunder down the lane. The harness horses are... It's very cool. I don't know why that is, but... I like it. So, all right, we're less than a minute and a half away from post. We're praying to God the guy announces it in English. If he doesn't, I will give you the numbers as I see them. I will make my French harness racing debut without any names. So just bet your number and listen for the number. I'll try and help you with that. So we'll see how it goes. Looks like a lovely day in France for what it's worth. Speaking of that, you see they're getting the Midwest is priming for another massive bout of tornadoes. Bad.
Oh, that's not good. Because ones that ripped through Oklahoma were terrifying.
Yeah, they're coming. When are you talking about? Maybe they hit already. Is that from today?
No, I think it was from the weekend.
A while ago, right?
Yeah.
There's supposed to be another batch that goes from now to the weekend and stretches all the way to the East Coast to Virginia. So I don't know. We may get some stuff.
Coming out onto the track is
full. Yay, English! Whoa! What the hell is that?
What the?
Well, they're going to race during an air raid, evidently. Wow! God bless the French. They just don't give a rat's ass. Oh, you should see how they start. They don't have a start out of the chute. Perpendicular to the track, and they all run straight out on the track, and then they go. That is the coolest start I think I've ever seen.
No, that is pretty neat.
That's what the siren was, to tell them, get your butts in the chute, and then the flag goes down, and they go. This one poor horse is like 40. Oh, red flag, red flag. Somebody screwed it up. El Capo. That is bizarro. See, this is why I love to follow sports from around the world. You see things you've never seen before. It's hard to describe it. It's like in the infield, I guess. Oh, they're showing why it's an illegal start. Photo depart. This is photo of the start.
Is it the photo department, I guess?
No, the depart, start.
Oh.
That was the photo department.
I don't know.
Track again.
They come out of this. They have all lanes. They're pretty wide too. And they all, when the siren sounds, they all go through this little. This is so cool. They're like little islands that you'd see at, you know, in a road that separate the horses, and they all go down their various islands. They get on the track. They make a left turn, and then they start. And I guess they can't be past the line before the guy drops the flag.
I was going to say, was that alarm going off to tell everybody that it was a false start, basically?
No, they did that too soon. That couldn't have been. Must have been. It was post time. There they go. All right, let's take a listen.
Gap of three back to the third horse. Unita Condé. Behind Unita Condé in fourth position is Galacta La Cave. Up on the wide outside, Ideal de Fourcade now goes into Columbia. So coming down to past the stands for the first time.
I think you need to pot it up a little if you can.
And for Maya de Fourcade, you continue to lead the way, but they're just about to be split now. Ideal de Fourcade comes up on the outer and takes them on, picks up second position. So these 10.
It's 4-3-2-1-8 right now.
The Alden Foucault leads the way. Isolé de Bouillon in second. Amaya de Bocage follows third.
They're going downhill.
Outside is player. This looks like a massive oval.
It really is enormous.
And being joined by Hilda de Tihau. So ready to make their way onto the far side for the final time.
Number one is in the lead now. 1-4-3-9. But they're very bunched, very tightly bunched.
Ideal de Fourcade.
Now four has moved to the front.
I saw Lee Dubouillon.
Moving up on the outer. Into third now is impact player. Behind that one.
It's going to be a wild stretch run, though. They're really bunched.
So approaching the intersection. We need to make the turn back towards the home stretch.
Uphill now.
And still Isolé Dubouillon with the lead. On the outer is impact player. And on the inside is Idéal de Fourcade. The 10-horse Hilden Tiapau goes into
God, fourth. This race goes forever.
Probably forget the rest as they make the turn in. Hilden Tiapau has gone three wide to try and get at this leader as they swing into the home straight. Hilden Tiapau has now got into second position and is the only real chaser.
4-9-1-10.
Isolé de Bouillon leads them into the straight. But Hilda de Tijal is coming hard at that one in second position.
Oh, they're bunching up.
They're all the time. Isolé de Bouillon comes
Two horses are pulling away.
On the near side, comes through, goes to the front. And number 10, Hilda de Tijal wins it. From four, Isolé de Bouillon
Whoa.
In second. And running through for third was Henri.
Hilda Dutral.
What a great stretch run by the 10.
Yeah, really impressive.
My video is behind yours, so he's just making his move now. What a great stretch. Oh, that was a good race. Not quite as exciting as the Derby, but pretty cool. So 10 is your winner, folks. Anybody have 10? Take a look. I'm in the studio, so Nick will have to know. Hilda Dutrial.
Had a female jockey, it looked like.
They're called drivers. In
drivers, sorry. Yeah.
5-1, so that'll be two haircuts for whoever won. Congratulations to you. That I got news for you. Having lived in Europe, I know people around here would have a hard time understanding it, but then again, you know, a lot of people don't completely understand our infatuation with thoroughbred racing. Harness racing is bigger than flat racing in most of Europe. England, they still, flat racing is a big deal. They have Ascot, and France has some, but I'm telling you, this track, you hit it on the head. It's as big as Belmont Park.
Seriously, it looks like a NASCAR track.
It was gigantic and looked pretty elaborate looking at it. I mean, that setup to start the race, I'm digging that. But, I mean, they could never do that here because they don't have enough room. But they have a whole – they start basically on a chute. Like, you know, at Churchill, when they start the races out on the back in that back corner, that's not part of the main track. They start there, and then they come, and they race onto the main track, and then they go around the oval. That's what this is. It's kind of like off the main track, and there's all these lanes, and the horses all, when that siren sounds, they all run to the track, and then they make a left turn because they're basically perpendicular to the track, and they go onto the track, make a left turn, and start the race. And they just have to make sure that it's, I guess it's kind of like when they start a NASCAR race, you know, they make sure it's a fair start, or they give them, they flag it and they make them start it again. They make sure everybody is behind the start line when the starter drops the flag. And the first time they did it, it was a false start. They had to go back and do it again. And then they did it again, and that's pretty cool. I mean, I always feel bad for the horses in thoroughbred racing. Remember we were talking on the show last week, by the way, I found out how they used to start the race. But before, they've only been using the starting gate at Churchill for the Derby since 1940. Before that, they used to beat a drum.
Really?
The guy would beat a drum. I guess I don't know whether he beat it like when he started beating the drum, it was the signal to get ready to race. Boom, boom. And then there was a starter with a flag, and he dropped the flag, and off they went. So there were no post positions. But that gate is small for a human. A horse must be miserable being in that thing. I guess that's part of the training. They get in there, and they learn how to do the starting gate. But I often wonder if there's a different way to do it. Now, I don't think it's so bad for harness racing because they're not in a chute. Most of you know they start a harness race with a car or a truck with the gate that then it keeps the horses behind it, and then the car speeds up and eventually the arms fold in and the car pulls off the track and the horses go. But this, I've never seen this before. I've seen in Sweden they run, like if there's 10 horses in the field, the first five go in a circle. They're running in a circle. and then the second five are in a circle behind them, and then they open up that circle, and they wind up going, and they start that way. That one seemed really contrived to me, because I don't know how they know when to open up the circle and how you get a fair start, but it seems to work for them. But this, I thought this was pretty cool today. I enjoyed that. That was pretty fun. And I'm sure if you had the 10, you enjoyed it, because you're going to get two free haircuts. Any 10s in the entry box there,
my friend? We had a 10. Yeah.
Hey.
Congratulations.
Very nice.
Someone said, tell the bird to shut up. Devin the mailman was participating today. Always good seeing him on the text line. This guy said that we should do a V-Stakes for the bocce. Which isn't a bad idea, but not everybody.
Entered then would want to play in the bocce, and then you'd be stuck with saying, "Well, I won the race, but I'm not coming to the bocce." Right. So
exactly. So you know, we appreciate everybody. It's a little bit less of a time, you know, a time commitment to enter the bocce, enter the V-Stakes as opposed to playing in the bocce. But it's not a big time commitment this weekend. You'll be there. Check-in starts at 1. Tournament ends around 4:30, so you'll be there about 3.5 hours. Plenty of time to do Mother's Day brunch in the morning or dinner at night. Wynn Family Stadium. Message me, Nick V at ESPNLouisville.com, if you're interested.
If you want to play, we'll draw a name from all the entries. You play. It doesn't cost you anything. Shady Rays has sponsored a couple of teams and said, you know, give them out to your listeners, which is very nice of them. You'll get a nice lunch. You get a nice gift. It's not an all-day thing. You'll enjoy the car show, which is going to be really spectacular. I'm not a gearhead, but these guys have gotten me interested in these car shows.
You're entering Vito, right?
I am. You'll see my vet. He's going to be the hooray. So right, that should be awesome. Fun. Yeah, he's going to be there. So I'm looking forward to that.
Weather should be good Sunday.
Knockwood, from your
Knockwood,
mouth to
God's ear. It's scheduled to be sunny, low of 50, 73 is the high. Should be a beautiful day, hopefully, Knockwood.
No rain. Have a nice lunch, go play on the pitch. And
Matzah Pie is providing the lunch, so you know it's good stuff there.
Yeah, that should be damned entertaining, so that will be very good indeed. So please send us at Nick V, not at the text line. Send it to his email, nickv@espnlouisville.com. If you can play, if you have just put bocce in the subject line so we know you want to be entered in that. Yeah, I'm telling you, if you've never played, you'll have fun. Anybody can play. I believe the Louisville Dog Walkers might have a team in.
Oh, that'd be awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, we're excited about
that.
Brian Hall.
Yeah, that'd be great.
So that would be great, great fun. So send us, and we'll draw a couple of teams out of there. And thanks to our friends at Shady Rays for their generosity and sponsorship. And I just found out today the Bats are sending us a sponsorship as well. Just got word today. So we're very excited about that. So thanks to Greg Galliette. Trying to find out how it works for them, because you know they've got the Muhammad Ali Day, not Jackie Robinson Day. Muhammad Ali Day is coming up,
right?
And,
one of the all-time great bobbles.
But is everybody getting a bobble?
That I'm not sure about. Might be first five, like 5,000 fans or something like that.
Ali bobblehead ticket package. Oh, yeah, you do. That's how it works. Great. So you got one if you ordered the season ticket package like I did, because Ali's sitting on my desk. He's really got to straighten it out with Joey Votto. All those Joey Vottos are pissing
him off. Which Joey
Votto?
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem. He's like, I wish I had a better Ali impersonation, because I know what I'd make him say. He'd be all mad, like you're trying to trick the champ. So many Vottos, you know. So he's trying to punch them all out one by one. That's terrible. I'm making him out to be a bully. He's a wonderfully nice bobblehead, but you can get one as well. It really is a great bobblehead. If you're a bobblehead collector, you're nuts if you don't want to take advantage of this. But if you are not a bobblehead collector, this is such a nice piece. Maybe you're just a fan of Ali. You'll want this. It really does look like him. It's very cool, doesn't it? Don't you think it does?
They nailed this bobblehead. Some bobbles are a little bit more accurate than others.
Yeah, you're taking a little liberty.
Yeah, this one is very, very good.
Yeah. So here's the Ali ticket package. It's fantastic. It's, and again, while supplies last, and my guess is they might very well sell out of these, but you'll want to take advantage of this. You'll get an infield seat. Let me see. I had it right in front of me.
Goodness,
here.
My chair is squeaky. Sorry, everybody.
Yeah. You'll get an infield seat, and you'll get the Ali bobble, and the whole thing is $37. So you get a really, really great seat to watch the game. And you'll also get the – and if you want to see what it looks like, go to batsbaseball.com so you don't take my word for it. You can take a look at this, and you will see. It is Saturday, June 1st at Slugger Field. So you got a little bit of time, but not too – you know, it's going to sell out, so you might want to they're going to sell out of these baubles, so you might want to get your tickets early. So Saturday, June 1st, $37 will get you the bauble and get you part of the celebration, the Ali celebration, and a great infield seat. So you'll want to take advantage of that. So that's very cool. So the champ bauble, it's very cool. And just if I could just calm him down so he'd stop beating up Joey Votto.
We're trying to fight all the Joey Vottos. I think it's only a couple of the Joey Vottos that are pissing him off. It's not all the Joey Vottos, but I think like the one where he's dressed up as like a superhero is kind of pissing him off. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, he's like,
I feel like that guy is getting a little cocky.
I don't think the champ likes that.
Yeah.
Oh my! So there you go. But take advantage of that. June 1st, do that. And again, Nick V at ESPNLouisville.com for your chance to play for free. A
texter was asking if he could bring his 9 and 12-year-old to play.
Yes, that's the whole point. Absolutely. That's the thing. For Mother's Day, you know, that's what Brian's going to do. Brian's going to try and get his mom to come play. And make.
And do what now? You dropped off there for a second. Uh-oh. I think he... is he back?
There we go.
There we go. What happened?
I said, this tie rig, for some reason, is acting all funkadelic. Brian said he's going to try and get his family to come. Said,
oh, that'd be Mother's great to Day. See the halls. Yeah,
go to brunch, bring the whole family, or bring the whole family to this, and go to dinner afterwards. But yes, there's the text there. Absolutely, that's the whole beauty of this thing. How many fundraiser things? I don't know about you, but I haven't been to many golf tournaments where they say, sure, bring your 8-year-old, bring your 9-year-old. Because anybody can play. And you can say, well, I'll be honest with you. They may get beat in the first round or the second round, but the first two rounds are just for, as you're just joining us, we do it just to flight everybody. So then they'll be in fact, the more kids, the better, because we'll probably have some flights where then there'll be more kids in there. That would be fantastic. This could be its real niche in this event. There's not that many places where, and be honest with you, they can go play on equal footing with the grown-ups, trust me. I mean, you know, if they can roll the ball, and my guess is they can, they'll be able to hold their own with anybody in this. So, yes, Texter, bring your family. Enter, and if you win, you know, come for the courtesy of Shady Rays or buy a team, and that'd be great. Thanks to Shady Rays. Thanks to the Bats for their sponsorship. We are grateful to them, and we're excited about what we're going to be able to do in the fight against cancer. And congratulations to a lot of stuff going on. Congratulations to everybody. Oh, who had number 10 in the race, but congratulations to the one who we drew as the winning entry. They're going to get two haircuts from Big League Haircuts. So there you go. So there's that. All right. I think we've got our – we on stable ground now? You hearing
me? Yeah. No, everything sounds good.
I don't know. What the hell that – oh. It was funkadelic.
Yeah, it was weird. So. Question. I wanted to I wanted to do a hitter myth, but we can save this for maybe a little bit later on. In the week.
Well, you got to tell me when you have those things, so I'll build in time. You spring them on me, right?
No worries. But you're right. But, I mean, this is evergreen stuff. We can talk about it later in the week. So, one of the topics, and we can revisit this as we get some more games under our belt, but who is more pivotal right now to their team's success, Anthony Edwards with the T-Wolves or Jalen Brunson with the Knicks?
No, Jalen Brunson, without question. I mean, and that's taken nothing away from Hart, who has been unbelievable.
Rebound machine.
Oh, he just gets and he never gets tired. Didn't he play all 48 minutes last night? I don't think they took him out.
Let me see. I'm not sure.
I think he played the entire game. And if he gets a rebound on the defensive end, he's a threat to go coast to coast. So I don't mean to minimize it. By saying that, I'm afraid I'm minimizing him, but I just think that
Hart played all 48 minutes.
That Towns is really he creates a different kind of problem from as great as and don't get me wrong, I love Edwards too, but I just think you asked who's got more. I mean, you get a guy that size, Towns does a lot of things. He's shooting threes. He creates a quirky matchup problem. So as great as Edwards is, I think Towns contributes more to that But I almost feel bad saying that because I feel like I'm minimizing Hart, because Hart and DiVincenzo have been unbelievable. I mean, that Villanova trio, that's a great question. Has there ever been a trio of guys from the same college that have gone on to the NBA and had that kind of an impact? I can't think of any. This three from the same college? That's
really... Well, I mean, did they have to play on the same team in the pros? Or are you just talking about like a trio of college players and just in general?
No. There's a whole bunch of teams that have had three really good college players who've gone on to be good pros. I'm talking about three guys, same college, go to the same franchise and play at the level these guys are playing. I don't think it's ever happened before. I honestly, I can't think of one.
Yeah, nothing's coming to mind.
I mean, North Carolina, you know, they had James Worthy and Michael Jordan. I guess to some degree, where did Perkins play? Was he on that team too? I don't remember where Perkins wound up playing, but they had, you know, North Carolina was so represented, but they didn't play in the same NBA team. What am I talking about? Jordan played for the Bulls, obviously, and Worthy played for the Lakers. So that doesn't even, I don't know what the hell I was thinking there.
Perkins played a little bit everywhere,
but I can't think of any. I mean, you'd be hard pressed to find two guys that came in together that did that. I mean,
I would think it would have to be a UK tandem, but I mean, then again, a lot of those guys only play a year, maybe two.
Yeah,
so.
But these guys were—I don't know. I guess. I mean, to some degree, you know, you could talk about guys that came into the league 8 years apart, and if they played for the same school, I guess we could still consider them.
Yeah, right. Like
these
there was
guys
a time,
were all the same era. These are all. I mean, these are all Villanova.
They're college teammates.
Yeah, I mean, think of that's what I'm saying. I mean, who's you don't see that? It's unbelievable, and they were regarded pretty well, but I don't know if anybody saw them being at this level. They have been. We've really got to try and find Jay Wright. I got to see if I can find somebody who can track him down for us, because I'd like to know what he thought at that. Because I to me, it's no great sin if he didn't say, "Oh, these guys are going to be NBA superstars." Because let's be honest. Did we really think Donovan Mitchell was going to be this good in the NBA? I don't know. I mean, not that we said, well, there's no way he could be that good. But I don't think it was a guy like that when he came out. You said, wow, this guy is going to be a stud. And you were just hoping, yeah, he might have a nice career in the NBA. But he's turned into a dominant player. I mean, to some degrees, I think he exceeded expectations. And that's a credit to him and his work ethic. But, you know, there's been a bunch of guys like that. These aren't the only guys. Terry Rozier has had a long and distinguished NBA career. I'm not sure we knew that was going to happen. But there are other guys that I think we thought might have had longer careers that didn't, like Francisco Garcia. I think, you know, with his length, I think people thought he might have a longer run at it. I hope it doesn't embarrass Reese Gaines because I love him to pieces. But you remember his last year, the debate was, well, who's the better player, Dwayne Wade or Reese Gaines? You know, they were in the same league,
yeah.
They were playing in the same conference. And, again, no disrespect because Reese is a great player, has nothing to apologize for his career. But Dwayne Wade's a Hall of Famer. I mean, so you just don't know. And sometimes the NBA game suits a playing style more than it does somebody else, so you really don't know. But I really would love to know from Jay Wright what he thought of these guys. That would be interesting because they have been unbelievable, and they're all fearless, the whole three of them. I mean, they take big shots, and they're playing without Randall. I wonder if they'd be – it sounds crazy because Randall's really great. Would they be better with Randall, or would they have to change the way they play so much it would impact the other guys?
Yeah, it's one of those things. I don't know you know, how he would change the dynamic.
Yeah. They always basketball is such a chemistry-driven game.
Because, I mean, they've been good, but, you know, I mean, once Brunson really took control of the team, they went on a tear.
Everything goes through that guy. He makes shots sometimes. It's like, how the hell? I mean, he doesn't strike you as a little slithering jet quick guard, but he's quick and he's built like a little fire plug. He's strong as a bull and he can shoot threes and he's tough. He's a good player and he's fearless, which is a nice thing. All right, I'm not fearless, but I do know how to tell time, and it means we got to get out of here. So we'll take our top of the hour break to turn it over to Streebs. And unless you know something I don't, we'll be at it with you tomorrow. Remember, if you want to enter to get a free team in the bocce tournament, we'll take those entries at nickv@espnlouisville.com. And I wish you the best of luck. It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, thanks everybody for spending some of your day with us. We'll see you tomorrow. ESPN 680 105.7.
James Triple here.